And we look at a planet, and the light is hitting it from these suns, and it's shining off of the face of the planet, and it's going out in all directions. So it's obviously making space, isn't it? Not really, because it's not looking at a damn thing. It's making no space unless you know it is making space. But there you are, perfectly convinced that the sun can make space. Why? Because it's shedding light into a space. It is radiating. Therefore, it is sending out Lord knows how many anchor points per millisecond, which are going out there to what tremendous distance. So it's obviously making space. It's not making space because it isn't looking at its own dimensions. It is making as much space as you are looking at. The light reflected off of Earth is obviously making space, isn't it? It's radiating out in all directions. Well, this was the primitive physical concept of space, and you're educated into having that concept of space simply by agreement with the physical universe continually. You've said anything that shines can make space. Worse than that. Anything that's loud can make space. Space is made by a flow. It is not made by a flow. Honest, in the absence of a viewpoint, you could take all of the electricity being manufactured today on Earth and make no space whatsoever, no matter how far you radiated it, because there wouldn't be any far to radiate it in. Now, this can be a matter of opinion, you understand, but we're only interested in the workability of Scientology. And we have found out that radiantly created space is false space, as far as a preclear is concerned, because he gets quite sick when he considers that energy is secondary to space. You see, radiantly created space says the energy is creating the space. The energy is not creating the space. The viewpoint is creating the space, and the viewpoint is higher than the space. Because a viewpoint can exist without any space and then can create space and creates it by hanging up some dimension points by which to view across a distance, and so has space. But radiantly created space, such as that created by the sun, would collapse immediately in the absence of viewpoints. This is a question of, if we weren't here, would the meshed universe be here? Would it be here at all if we weren't here? Well, if we weren't here, it wouldn't be here for us. And that's really all we're interested in. The Dickens was a theoretical problem, but the other truth of the matter is, if we weren't here, it wouldn't be here. Let's just skip that as a theoretical argument, because you could stumble on it and argue about it and so on. And let's just say, would the meshed universe be here if we weren't here? And, well, if we weren't here, it isn't here for us. And just let it hang at that, and don't bother to get more complicated than that, and we're on quite safe ground. That sun that's sitting up there right now, spitting out photons, and some of its flame is its electronic fission is going out there 100,000 miles from its surface. And when you get 100,000 miles out from the surface, oh boy, that's quite a roar. It makes actual sound in a vacuum. That's because of the density of the electrons. They can actually relay sound. Electrons being packed close together will relay a vibration which is like sound, which is sound, if sound is the relaying of a vibration, which it is. There are also other things which relay vibrations. But here we have a problem there where this thing is evidently roaring too, you see. It's a big beast up in the sky. It roars, and it sends forth flashes, and it sends forth long electronic streamers. And, oh boy, that's forceful. It's no wonder the Egyptians got down and said, "Oh, Ra, Ra, mighty in thy power, we do." Yeah, that's where we got the college cheerleader yells. Anyway, it's no wonder that the Egyptian, that primitive peoples, who are all bogged down in all directions and are quite nutty, worship the sun. Energy is up there making space, as far as they're concerned, and this is the space it makes. Of course, that isn't anywhere near as sensible as saying that there is an invisible something this is nobody knows anything about, who is sort of not even visible at any time, who just by the fact of beingness is actually creating all this space and is everywhere and is omnipotent and omniscient and omnipping and various. Of course, this sun god concept is nowhere near as rational as God is everywhere and nowhere and nowhere and everywhere is nowhere and that's where we're going. It's when they break down utterly and are not even any longer able to look that a culture goes down to the point of saying, well, the sun isn't God because we don't dare look at it anymore and we don't even know if it's in the sky, so religion is everywhere, nowhere, where are we going? The local spin bin is two blocks away. At least you could tag this thing, this sun, and say, well, you're to blame for all this space. And you can't even find God to blame him. So we have a problem with cultures and civilizations when they go over the peak, when they come out of the idea that a viewpoint makes dimension. In other words, just the fact that a fellow is there is enough for something to be there. When they come down to that lower basis and say, look, we have to have an energy flow out here to make a lot of space. First, he could just know there was space. There would be space if he merely knew there was space. He'd make a postulate there was space and then not even bother to look, there'd be space. That's because the postulate is in existence. Then the next step is we've got to have energy to block this space out, and there's your first dimension point entrance. And the next step in is we've got to have something radiating energy in order to hold the space out there. He gets this idea because it's a vacuum universe, and he gets the idea of having to have a lot of pressure out to keep the thing from being pushed in. Of course, we're not quite sure what's going to push it in, because if there's nothing outside of this universe, there's no pressure out there to push in this universe. But he thinks that these flows have to exist there in order to distend the space. And the next thing he knows, why, he says, that's not tenable anymore. I know that's not tenable because there isn't any space at all. I'm very well aware of that because every time I go out for a walk, I run into a tree. So it's obvious that I can't tell where any space is. And becomes the normal Homo sapiens of this modern culture, which has the concept of the space is made by something which is everywhere but nowhere. Something which is everywhere but nowhere and isn't even looking, but is looking at you and notes all the sparrows falling. And is omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, and omnivorous. you think now I'm being blasphemous. It's impossible to be blasphemous about a non-existence. Well, by definition, God is non-existent, isn't he? Well, so therefore I'm being blasphemous about nothing, and I can prove it. Now, here we have the sun up there right now sending out radiant streams in all directions. Is it making space? Well, apparently, yes. Apparently. It's not looking, though. So it's not making space, is it? What we're looking at is the tail end of the most complicated concatenation of agreements you ever cared to put your foot into. And lo, you did. And so you can see the sun. Well, we won't even bother with that. We've got something up there which is doing a mock-up of a thetan. The mess universe has mocked up a gigantic thetan. You see that? Made it out of energy. Any one of you has more capability than the sun. But there's that big mock-up out there, and so you agree that it can make space. Anything that is shiny, you can agree, will make space, and anything that makes noise, lo, the smallest child or barking dog, is, by the concept of the GE, making space. So you agreed all these things make space. Well, then it's no wonder that you get fouled up with space, because it certainly can't be then your space, because your space would radiate from where you were. And if nothing is radiant from where you are, it must be somebody else's space you're living in. And so we're into an immediate problem of ownership. Somebody else owns everything. Well, the pre-clear can't get mock-ups is in that computation, or worse. Somebody else owns everything. At least he's in this one. Somebody else owns everything. Why? Because it's somebody else's space, so therefore I'm in somebody else's universe. The Thetan, sitting in the middle of the GE, is sitting in the middle of space put up there by the GE. And, in view of the fact that he's living there, in that space, believes himself to be living in other space than his own, which you say he is. But what happens to him the second he begins to repair this space? Ah, he's senior to that space. He doesn't have to create anything to own it, you know. He can simply come into possession of it by controlling it. You've let this fellow create some space for the GE just by putting up some anchor points around the GE. But then, supposing he gets down and adjusts the real, honest to goodness, and these are just as real as pebbles on the beach, these GE anchor points. They aren't something illusory. Don't ever get into that trap. They're not. They could probably, if you could get several of them together and put them on a scale, so they would probably have weight. Micro weight, but it'd still be weight. All right. Where he can place those anchor points around. Where he can adjust them. He not only gets the GE into good shape, but he makes that space his own, and so he can exteriorize out of it. And you can't get anybody to exteriorize out of any space anywhere unless it's his space. Nobody will ever get out of this universe until he owns all the space in it. Nobody will ever get out of the physical universe out here until he can own and be perfectly cheerful to look at and occupy the position of the whole shooting match. The way out is through. Now, let's look at the body as the microcosm, that being the macrocosm. And we look at the body and find out that if we adjusted the anchor points inside the body, if we adjusted that, we would have at once put the body into good shape, which would have ended our cycle of action since we were always trying to put the body in good shape. After we found out we couldn't make nothing at it, one fell swoop. And so we adjusted the anchor points of the body. We could handle it. Therefore, we take over ownership of that space. Bang, we own that space. Can we get out of it? Why, certainly we can get out of it. It's ours. And that is why an individual can exteriorize when he adjusts the body anchor points. But look at the traps that are trapped here for a Thetan to fall on his face about. Fall on the body's face about. How many ways is the body making space? How many aberrated ways is the body making space? Well, let's say somebody has shiny eyes. Did you ever really fall back from thoughts of treachery in the face of beauty? Beauty's making space. Let's take a very, very pretty child with very bright eyes. You think twice before you do anything to the child. Obviously, the child's making space. Why is the child making space? By being bright. That is to say, by reflecting light. That makes space. All right, let's look a little further. And let's find that the sex to no scale in its entirety is a gradient of making space. Let's find the most base space which is made by the GE. Sex. Making space with sex. Making space by sexual allure. This is sort of a reverse way of making space. But it's there. Making space with semen. Hardly any girl who is doing all right fails to make space with perfume. If it's only the native perfume of her own body. She's making perfume space. It's space, though, on this same old basic radiant space construction, see? That's just the sun making space. It's a misnomer. The sun isn't making space. But the girl can put up the illusion of making space simply by having some perfume. Those particles go out a long way, don't they? All right? She can make as much space as she has perfume. A civilized woman, pretty well pounded down and told she can't have any space and so forth, is very often utterly dismayed when into her community walks some barbaric, uneducated she-devil who wears it by the half bottle. And this civilized woman stands there in utter dismay watching all the civilized men going off. Well, she says it isn't nice to wear that much perfume. Fact of the matter is, and anything to do with being nice, it isn't very polite of her to make all the space that's being made in an area, but if she wore an acceptable brand of perfume and lots of it, she would have all the consequences of making space. That's why the only dirty words permitted in American advertising are on the bottles of perfume. All right, there's basic on it. Now we take this fellow, we take a man in this character. He's making space. If he's pretty bad off, he'll try to make space with sex. He'll try to go all over the place and have as many women as possible. Makes space, doesn't it? Semen is an anchor point wherever deposited. Now, we just get semen as radiant, you know, as radiant space. You'll find out he has a little bit of space right there. Well, let's go upscale a little bit and run into eating, and between sex and eating, let's find excretia. Freud had a lot to say about excretia, but do you know that excretia makes space? I had a police dog one time who was not well housebroken at all, and he made more space. Sure his space. But that's just another method of putting out anchor points and making space. Completely aside from the fact that there is an ejection where you're actually getting this semi-radiant manifestation on its most debased level. Odor enters here again. And the person makes such horrible space that nobody can enter it. All right. Now let's go up a little bit more and let's find eating. And do you know men make spaces and women make spaces by eating? Do you know that more basically, animals make space by permitting themselves to be eaten? There are whole lineages of animals, fowl and so forth, which exist today solely to be eaten. But just by letting somebody consume the anchor point, they continue to exist and continue to have space. All the heroism and the beauty and color and bad language and so forth that today fills the motion picture theater's box office is totally dependent upon cows permitting themselves to be eaten. Cowboy Western movies and so forth are utterly dependent upon this fact that cows put out anchor points. That's the space. Everybody eating beef will sooner or later start to get interested in Western movies, naturally. They have unwittingly been interiorized into cows' space. See, this covert backwards method of putting out an anchor point. Well, let's look at it. Now let's look at somebody who is getting unbelievably fat. Two ways of getting fat, just a little bit upscale from this. There's quite another method of being big. Quite another method. But every once in a while, you find some guy who is, boy, he's gotten real fat, and his jaws are sagging, and his stomach is protruding way out. So what's he doing? He's trying to make space with food. He's making food push out the body far enough to have space. How are you going to get anybody slim who has a psychological problem? Brother, you're not. Now, when he gets way downscale, do you know he gets unbearably thin? A very fat man can be depressed mentally to a point where he'll get thin. Boy, this is the lowest rung of something, brother. It isn't even safe to be eaten anymore. That's getting pretty far down. And you'll get people who don't even think it's safe to be eaten anymore. Convinced they would be eaten if they put out an anchor point, and yet condensing themselves, going way in, real tight, so as not to put out any space with food. They dabble with their food. This is a particular type. It isn't all thin people. It's a particular type of thin person. They just dabble. They don't dare eat very much, and so on. They won't put out food to make space. That's the main problem. Now, let's go up a little bit and find something that lets us sit right in the middle of book one. Making space with symbols. And there's your whole category of sound and everything connected with words, so forth. People make space with sound. He talks big is a colloquialism in the language. A person can have as much space as he can talk into. Now, people, by the way, were surprised, all out of proportion, on the Phoenix Congress when it demonstrated that the sound was simply trailing behind actually manufactured space. You know, I manufactured the space with a couple of anchor points out there and then talked into it at a whisper. And, of course, it went back against the back end of the hall, just boom. I don't know if you've ever heard the tapes of that or not, but it's quite startling that the actual voice tone is registered on the tapes, was not registered to the audience. And I say, now you can hear my voice at the back end of the hall. Actually, the voice which I put out at the back end of the hall was so quiet that if no space had been made first, nobody would have heard it 2 feet from me. And yet it registered that way on the tape. But it didn't register that way in the hall, of course, because you were doing what? That was the space I was talking into. Space is primary here. If you put up the space, if you really manufactured space, you know, I got a viewpoint of a dimension, and you had a great big dimension sitting out there, and then you talked into it, and you didn't much care how, believe me, you'd arrive at all points of that space. But witness the poor guy who was trying to make space with sound. You know, no viewpoint involved here. He can't look anymore. No anchor points involved. He's just going to take sound alone and make space with it. Oh, is he getting into trouble? Whether he does it with the written word or the spoken word or a tin whistle. A Latin with an automobile horn under his control is very, very interesting in terms of made space with sound. He's trying to make enough space for his car to drive through with his horn. If you took the horn off of his car, he would be rather convinced that there was no space in front of him for his car to go into. He isn't so much worried about pedestrians. They hit those and knock them off, as a matter of course. In fact, half the time don't even honk for those. The time when they honk the most is when they got a broad, wide-open highway. They honk, 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 and off they go. Now, they're making space. Actually, the computation, it's computing, is that if they have enough sound going out in all directions, then they'll have some space to live in. Some of their families would give you this idea. You get down into the back country and listen to the noise and commotion in some barbaric household. It's fascinating. You get the Indios and so on back in the mountains of Mexico and so on. The amount of uproar that can occur in one household is unbelievable. But you know, they wouldn't have any space at all if they didn't make that much noise. You wonder why people make that much noise. Well, they have to have space. The reason the little kid yells and talks and so forth, he's being pretty well driven in by the society, so he makes some space for himself with sound, symbols. What about the fellow who writes things on walls and puts things in washrooms? He's trying to make space with symbols. This whole deal about who was it that was here all during the war? Kilroy, yeah, Kilroy was here. He's just trying to make space. You see, he's got to carry his anchor points around in a hod or something of the sort and lay them down. All right, let's go up a little higher. And how about making space with effort? A working man is making space with effort. He makes this, he makes that, he puts effort in here and he puts effort in there. He creates structures. He creates things and has as much space as he creates things. Now, actually, an organization, a society, an individual has a tendency in this society to exist as long as he has created space existing. I don't think you probably would know anything about Egypt at all if somebody hadn't put some pyramids in there. I think it would have gone by the boards. I don't think anybody dares change the name or really alter the face of Egypt as long as some pyramids stay there. Somebody made some space. And we know about it. Practically every other country in the northern coast of Africa, there on the Mediterranean, practically every other country has changed its political significance, its boundaries, its this-a, its that-a. Everything is altered about them. But there is one place that is nailed down. Egypt. It has some very solid structures there. Somebody made some space there. Now, up the coast a little way from there, there's a fellow who gets awfully mad about people making space. They're still, to this day, trying to take down an enormous monument that was put up to Cleopatra's sister. And nobody can tear it to pieces. They're having an awful time. It's too big. The attitude of the barbarian toward massive buildings, his efforts to destroy them, and the invention of gunpowder itself is actually trying to undo this business of making effort stand for space. And what do you think that sun is out there? That's effort making space. That's on the effort band. And above that, have you ever run into anybody who was trying to make space with emotion? If they ever tried to get anything done at all, it had to be done in a rage. They made space with rage so that they could work in it. And let's go one step above that and find that individuals, with all the tricks they use of making space, make it best with the GE by looking with the eyes. And they try to make space for the GE by looking with the eyes. This is not feasible, of course. The space can be made by a Satan looking, but not by a pair of binoculars sitting there looking. You can put all the binoculars around you want to, and you still won't have a viewpoint unless you've got somebody to look through it. So individuals will look piercingly, you know, real piercingly at people, trying to make enough space, you see, to occupy the other person. All right, now we get up to know. And the unfortunate part for the whole society is that if an individual knows he has all the space there isn't anybody can do a single thing to him. Because there's no mechanics you can monkey with. No mechanics at all. Fella knows he has a lot of space, so he has a lot of space. So people walk into him and bounce. And that's about the way it goes. Well, there's space. Now, when you get a pre-clear with a somatic here and a somatic there and a somatic in his stomach and a somatic someplace else, we're not looking at something for you to process, but we're looking at something you can understand. What's he trying to do? Why has he got a somatic there? Well, once upon a time, he tried to make space by eating his stomach. He can't do that anymore. He's not succeeding in making space by eating. Stomach's collapsed one way or the other. He's failed. So he's got a stomachache. What about the fellow who has a constant mouth somatic? He's tried to make space with words, 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 and then somebody collapsed the space by pulling his words away from him. So just understand with this business of making space that there are many illusory ways of making space. The best way is just to know you have space. So therefore, the best process is to simply change somebody's postulates.